Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Tonight we're going to talk about expectations and judging and those sorts of things. It's interesting that in the scriptures, it kind of points out that we really aren't supposed to live our lives based on the expectations of other people. We're not even supposed to live our lives based on the expectations of ourselves for ourselves. But we're to live our lives based on our Lord's expectations for us. And especially, you know, both of those things are hard for people to deal with, dealing with the expectations of others, but also dealing with our own expectations for ourselves and our own dreams and goals and things that we feel like we should do. Both of those things can get in the way of us doing what our Lord expects for us to do. And the real important thing is in life is that we do what He expects, that we fulfill His expectations, not other people's and not our own. So let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7. He says, "Do not look at things according to the outward appearance." Now that's just the way we tend to operate. We look at things on the outside and we approve of people and we disapprove of people. We have expectations for ourselves. We have expectations for other people. And other people have expectations for us. And all that tends to really focus on a lot of external things, the outward appearance of things. And we have to be very careful that we don't just look at things that way. But when we look at things, we try to look at them from the same perspective that the Lord looks at them from. He looks at the heart. He looks at what's on the inside. And we can't see it as clearly as He can, but we can look for that rather than just looking at the outside. That's the thing we've talked about before, is that oftentimes people feel like they're doing what the Lord wants them to do because we're doing all these external things that people say, if you do these things, then you're a good Christian. And we'll end up in a place where we're doing all of these external things that we think make us a good Christian, and the whole time we're not even close to doing what the Lord would have us to do. So He says, "Do not look at things according to the outward appearance. If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ, even so we are Christ." And this is an important concept here. What He's saying is, He says, are you convinced that you're a believer? Are you convinced that you're a Christian? Are you convinced that you are Christ? He says, if you're convinced that you're Christ and that you belong to Him, I want you to think about something else. Think about this, that just as you are Christ, I'm Christ also. I belong to Him as well. He's my Lord as well. So when you look at me, don't get caught up in the outward appearance of what I appear to be, even if you approve of it, because that's not what's important. What's important is, am I Christ's or not? Do I belong to Him? And that's all that matters. And that's what we, when we was starting this church, as we was going along, at one point along the way, we had to decide what we was going to do about how we was going to handle membership. And we had discussions about that. Are we going to have criteria for people to be a member? Do you have to do this? Do you have to do that? Do you have to be baptized through immersion? Do you have to believe these certain things? Do you have to agree to a set of doctrines? And what we came down to was, no, you don't have to do any of those things. You only have to do one thing. You have to belong to Christ. We decided not to base it on any outward things, because those outward things can all be faked. There's only one thing that can't be faked, and that's whether or not we belong to Him. We either do or we don't, and there's no in between. And that is how we are to look at one another. We are to look at other people in terms of, do they belong to the Lord? And if they do, then they're our brothers and sisters. And if they don't, then they are people that we need to tell about Jesus Christ. And life gets really simple at that point. We don't have to worry about all these other things. And church gets really simple as well. Now, when we're looking at other people, and other people are looking at us, there tends to be a lot of classification going on. This person belongs in this group, this person belongs in that group, this person belongs in this group. And we approve of or disapprove of people based on what class they're in, what group they're in. Verse 12. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. Paul says, we're not going to put ourselves in this group into groups. And what's going on here is that there's this group of people who say that, you know, we're the approved of ones, and if you're in our group, you're approved of. And if you're not in our group, then you're not approved of. Does that sound familiar? That same sort of thing is going on today. We classify and group ourselves and determine whether or not we're acceptable based on whether we're in that group. And Paul says, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to class myself in with this group, even though I may agree with what they're saying and a lot of their beliefs. I'm not going to class myself in with them, because that is an unwise thing to do. Because they, verse 12, are measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves. That's what we tend to do. We want to compare ourselves to each other and rank ourselves and rank each other. And we want to decide, you know, if you have this set of beliefs, then you fit in this group. And if you have this set of beliefs, you fit in this group. We approve of this group, we don't approve of that group. We approve of this group, we don't approve of that group. And as a result, we're just looking at outward things and we're being foolish. And that's what he says here. They're measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, and they are not wise. That is a foolish thing to do. Yet it is something that comes very natural for us in the flesh. It's something that we do in our society. Everybody's in some classification, whether we classify people by race, we classify people by their socioeconomic level, how much money they have financially. We classify them by their education. We classify them by their religions. We classify them by their denominations. We classify it all different kinds of ways. And none of those classifications are important. There's only two classifications that matter. Are you Christ's or are you not? And when it comes down to the end, nothing else at all will matter. Now, as we're looking at each other, we tend to have, you know, you have this low level up to the highest level, whatever those things are, and then everything is kind of in between. And you see that same sort of thing in the scriptures. There's this, you know, idea, and you see this in churches, that we're not going to accept certain people in because they haven't gotten to the right point yet. They can attend, they can show up if they want to, but they can't really be a member until they know all these things and agree to all these things and agree with us on all these things. And then on the other side of it, there tends to be these people that churches want to go after. We want this person in our church because this person we rank really, really high. And both of those things are foolish things. All that matters is this person the Lord's or not? And if they are, then we can fellowship together and we can all move together towards becoming like him. So let's look at the low end first. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Now, this is something that a lot of churches don't want to do. Don't want to receive believers in that are weak in the faith. But just as we saw a minute ago, all that matters is, are we Christ's? Do we belong to him or not? And if we do, then that's the criteria for acceptance. But the reality of it is that some believers are going to be weak and they're going to believe things that are wrong. And they're going to be immature and otherwise they're going to do things that are wrong. But we shouldn't reject them because they're weak and immature. We should bring them in and help them to mature, help them to become like Christ. But the one thing that we can't allow to happen is to allow them to start arguments and disputes over doubtful things. If you think about it, just about all the distinctions between denominations has to do with doubtful things. Let's take baptism. That's a really simple one, right? Good grief. I mean, that's a doubtful thing. It's not really even that important as to whether you immerse or pour or sprinkle. What's important is, are you Christ or not? And so much of the other disagreements between denominations that we divide ourselves over and dispute over and argue over ad nauseum are things that are doubtful things. Now, there's the reality is that there are some things that aren't doubtful. And we need to be clear on those things. You see examples of those in the scriptures. In Corinthians, the book that we just looked at a moment ago, as Paul's writing to them, he condemns them for not judging this one particular individual that's in their group. And he seems to think that he is a believer. And this person is having an illicit relationship with his father's wife. And he says, this one you need to judge and do something about. Another group that the scripture says that we should judge are false teachers. And when it talks about them, it says they actually are not Christ's. Therefore, you should not accept them. So it doesn't mean that we don't make strong statements about things that are true and right and are not doubtful. It's that we don't allow these doubtful things to cause unnecessary divisions among us. So we're to receive those who are weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. See, on both of these, whether they eat or don't eat, whatever they think, God's received him. The Lord, he belongs to Christ. And that's what matters. These other things are things that we can deal with. And they are actually things that the Lord will deal with. And it's actually his job to do it. Verse 4. Who are you to judge another's servant? We'll see this idea here in a couple of places, in both places, talking about those who are at the high level and those who are at the low level. And here it says, who are you to judge another's servants? All of us as believers have a master. Who is our master? Christ Jesus. He is our Lord and master. And we are his servants. The word used so many times in the scriptures, more often than not, is actually the word for slave. We are his. He bought us with a price, and that price was his very blood. So it says, who are you to judge another servant? This other person has a master that they belong to, and it's the only person they have to please is who? That master. They don't have to please all the other servants, just the master. So he says, who are you to judge another servant? It's to his own master that he stands or falls. Each of you don't stand or fall based on what I think of you. You stand or fall based on what the Lord thinks of you, and so do I. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. In another place it says that he who began a good work in you will complete it to the day of Christ. Over and over you see throughout the scriptures that when God starts something, he finishes it. And when he saves somebody, he started that. And he will finish it. We don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about people who are weak coming in and the Lord not working on them. Because he's taking that upon himself to do it. And he will do it. And that's what it says here. Indeed, he will be made to stand. Don't worry about whether he stands or falls. He'll be made to stand one way or the other. Either the Lord will move him to where he wants him to be, or the Lord will take him to be with him, and then he'll stand. But he will stand because God is able to make him stand. So we don't have to worry about that. What we have to worry about is ministering to them in whatever way that the Lord would have us to, so we could be a part of him helping them to stand. Verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. So that's another doubtful thing as to whether or not these holy days need to continue to be observed or not. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. So it's very important that we be convinced that whatever we're doing is what the Lord wants us to do. And to the best of our ability, we need to come to that place. We need to seek him out and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And to the best of our ability, be convinced that we are doing what he would have us to do. And if what I come to is one thing and what Joe comes to is another thing, and it's one of these doubtful things like whether to eat a certain kind of food or not, then each of us needs to be convinced of whatever we decide on, that that's what the Lord wants us to do, and we need to follow that and allow it to be okay that the other one came to another conclusion there. Because it's not to me that he stands, it's to his Lord. He who observes the day, verse 6, observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord, he does not observe it. That's the point. It all needs to be to the Lord, based on what we believe he wants us to do. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. We don't just live, we're not just an island, we don't live on our own. It's not about our own needs and desires, it's about his. For if we live, verse 8, we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. Whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. We belong to him. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So here's the bottom line. Nobody's getting away with anything. Every one of us is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And each one of us, according to the scriptures, will answer for the things that we've done in the flesh. We'll all answer. So it's very important that each one of us, to the best of our ability, does what we believe and are convinced that this is what our Lord wants us to do, and we follow that. And what we don't want to do is cause somebody not to do what they believe the Lord wants them to do. And we'll see that here in a minute. Because each one of us will stand before him, and he will judge us, and it's before him, it says, that we stand or fall. For it is written, verse 11, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, each of us shall give account of himself to God. So every one of us is going to stand before him and give an account of the things that we did. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this. So he says, instead of giving each other a hard time about these things that aren't really clear, but we each believe that the Lord wants us to do, instead of giving each other a hard time about that, rather, what we should do is resolve this. We should make this resolution. We should make this decision that we are going to stick to. Not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. What we want to do is encourage each of our brothers and sisters in Christ to be convinced in their heart that what they're doing is what the Lord would have them to do. And the last thing that we want to do is to have them go against that and that cause them to stumble. That because I think I'm supposed to do this, and I think because I'm supposed to do it, you're supposed to do it too, and I try to make you do it, and I cause you to not do what the Lord wants you to do, but do something else instead, I just caused you to stumble. Amen. And that's what I don't want to happen. And I believe that so much of what goes on in churches today is us enforcing on other people what we think they should do, and as a result, instead of actually helping people to come closer to the Lord, we're causing them to go away from the Lord and to stumble and to fall. And the Lord will hold us accountable for that. So we have to be very careful that we allow them to answer to their Lord, and we don't feel like they should have to answer to us and try to get them to answer to us. And vice versa, we should realize as well that we don't have to answer to others. We only have to answer to our Lord. So this is the case of the weak in the faith. And all of us are weak at different levels. There's some areas where we're strong, there's other areas where we're weak. And in some ways, every one of us falls into this category. And our brothers and sisters need to be willing to allow us to come into their fellowship, even with these weaknesses that we have. Now, there are limits, like the guy who's living with his father's mother, and the person who's false teaching. And there's lots of other things along those lines that have to be dealt with. But most things don't fall into that category. And we need to give each other the leeway to serve the Lord in the way that we believe He wants us to serve Him. And give us the opportunity to grow and to mature at the rate that the Lord wants us to. He may have us weak in this area and strong in this area because He needs us to do something with this right now. He'll work on this other thing later in His own time. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now in this case, we're going to look at the ones that are perceived to be higher on the totem pole, to be spiritually at a high level. And the reality of it is, though, is that we really don't know where each other is. And the reality of it is that we really don't know where we are completely, because our heart tends to deceive us as well. So we need to be careful that we don't try to control those who are weak, but also that we don't try to follow those that we think are mature in a way that they actually lead us away from the Lord. Because what can happen is we can substitute people that we respect and think a lot of for who? For Jesus. For our actual master. And begin to follow and serve them rather than our Lord. And you see that in so many churches. The pastor or certain leaders in the church are followed very much by the people in that group, even more so than it appears that they follow the Lord. And I know that I have fallen into that before, where I was more following a person than I was the Lord. And what they thought of me was more important to me than what the Lord thought. And that's something that the Lord is not pleased with. And it is a foolish and unwise thing. So that's what we need to be careful of when we're looking at people who are more mature, or at least appear to be, or even if they actually are. So 1 Corinthians 3. Now in this section here, up until this, Paul has been dealing with, and we looked at it a few weeks ago, he's been dealing with this situation there where they're all dividing themselves up and following after certain men. Some of them say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Jesus, and they were using that as a way to say that I'm better than you. So they were following these people that they felt were mature and godly and that they looked up to. Verse 18 of chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3. So Paul says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. Now, oftentimes, a lot of what comes across or is presented as wisdom and maturity in the church today actually is worldly wisdom and not godly wisdom. We need to be careful of that. So much of the church today is ran more like a corporation than it is like a church. And that's what he's saying here. Be careful about those that think that they're wise in this age and that they've brought these things into the church, but we need to realize that that really is foolishness. 4 verse 19, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. Here's this idea of not making your boast in other people. Not allowing yourself to be identified with an individual person. But only allow ourselves to be identified with our Lord. And our country particularly is so much about, you know, celebrity and being a fan of certain celebrities. And we have to be very careful that we don't allow that to affect the way that we look at people in the church. And that we don't become fans of certain people. That we don't boast in men. 4, verse 21, all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. The Lord says that He has given us all things. And He's given us all things for us to use for His purposes. So all things are ours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. So here's this hierarchy of things in the world. There's God, and then there's Jesus, and then there's us underneath him. And everything else in the world can be used for us in order to serve him. Whether it's other believers and their ability to teach us, or whether it's things that we need, whether it's things now or things in the future, all these things God has given to us to use to serve him. But the bottom line is that we belong to him. And when we are using all these things that he has given us, whether it's other people or things, we are to use them for the purposes that he would have us use them for. We are to identify ourselves with him because he is our master and not with other men. Chapter 4, verse 1. So let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So what he's saying is you know, these people are idolizing these different men, Paul, Apollos, Peter, and Jesus, and identifying with them just as men and not with Jesus Christ as the Lord as they should be, and all of us are kind of equals underneath him. So he says, when you're looking at us, don't consider me, Paul, as somebody that's to be identified with, that you're to be my fan and you're to follow after me. But instead, the way that you should look at me is just as another servant of Christ, just like you. And stewards of the mysteries of God. Every one of us is a minister of Christ, a servant of Christ rather, and a steward of whatever he wants us to do. So he is our master, we are his servants, and he gives us a stewardship, a responsibility of some sort. We also refer to that as our ministry, the things that he wants us to do, and the things that he asks us to do each day. So when we look at these people that we think of as being higher on the totem pole, what we should see, instead of somebody that's way above us, what we should see is a fellow servant who, just like us, has been given a responsibility from the Lord. Their responsibility may be different than ours, but it's no different. It's the exact same thing. They're his servants carrying out the responsibility that he gave to them. The only difference between me and them is he just gave us a different responsibility. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. There's really only one thing that's important for us as servants of our Lord, is that we be faithful to whatever it is he's asked us to do. Each one of us, he's asked us to do something, and he asks us to do things every day. And the thing that he's going to judge us by is how faithful we carried out those things that he is asking us to do. And that's the interesting thing. So this other person seems to be this prominent person that has this huge ministry, and what I do seems to be small compared to that. That doesn't matter. All that matters is what he has asked me to do, am I being faithful? And all that matters with this other person is what the Lord has asked them to do, are they being faithful? And if we are, when we stand before him, he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not because one of us did something big and the other one did something small, but because both of us did exactly what he asked us to do. If he asked me to do this small thing over here and I say, well, that's not good enough for me, and I run off and I'm able to do some big thing over there, you know what he's going to say when I come before him? He's going to say, you didn't do what I told you to do. And all that that you did over here is just wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to burn up in the fire of my judgment, and it's going to be gone, and there's no value to it. So, because Paul understands this and recognizes that we're all just servants of the same Lord, and we've all been given different stewardships, and all that matters as a steward is whether or not we're faithful with the stewardship we've been given. Verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Because he recognizes that, he's like, it doesn't bother me at all. It's a very small thing to me that you would judge me, or that some court would judge me, or even that I would judge myself. Because my judgment doesn't matter and your judgment doesn't matter. Whose judgment matters? God's, our Lord's. It's his judgment that matters. Verse 4, for I know nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Even if I can't identify things in me that are wrong right now, that still doesn't make me right before the Lord, because I'm not even the judge of myself. The Lord is that judge, and he is the one who will judge me, and I will stand before him. Therefore, verse 5, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. So here's the thing. It doesn't matter what other people think of me. It doesn't even really matter what I think of me. What matters is what my master thinks of me, what the Lord thinks of me. Therefore, you shouldn't judge me now. I shouldn't judge you now. I shouldn't even judge myself yet. We should wait on this judgment until the Lord comes, and what he will do is a couple things that we can't do right now. The first one he's going to do is he's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness. He's going to bring out into the open the things that are hidden right now so that they can all be seen. So that the judgment that can be made will be made on the inward things and not on the outward things that Paul said not to judge by a while ago. The second thing that he's going to do is he's going to reveal the counsels of the heart. He's going to reveal the motives behind the things that were done. Then each one's praise will come from God. So God is going to lay everything out in the open, and then he's going to judge. And we're all going to be a part of that. We're all going to see it. We're all going to experience it. We're all going to be judged by him. And then, if we're worthy of praise, that praise will come from the only one who really matters, and that's the Lord. So, we need to be very careful about how we interact with one another, and that we don't cause each other to go contrary to what the Lord would have each one of us individually to do. And there's two really easy ways for us to do that. One is that we take people that we think aren't as mature as they should be, and we try to give them something to do. I mean, that's what so many churches are built around, right? This new person comes in. Well, the first thing we got to do is we got to find this person a job. We got to get them teaching a class. We got to get them doing something. We've got to get them busy in some way. That is a big mistake. What we need to do is just help that person get to know their Lord and to get to understand him and to be able to hear his voice and to be able to hear his direction, because he is their master. And when they get to that point and they begin to be able to hear him, then he can give them their responsibilities. He can give them their stewardship, ask them to do the things that he wants them to do, and they can respond to that, right or wrong. But that's our job. Our job is not to give them a job. Our job is to help them to understand their Lord so that he can give them their job. And then they will be judged by him and found faithful. We have to be very careful that by judging them, we don't cause them to stumble. And when I'm saying judging here, I'm saying that they're immature and we're going to help them along in our own way. We have to be very careful of that. Because what we don't want to do is get them busy doing things that the Lord doesn't want them to do. And then on the other side, we also have to be very careful about exalting people. Particularly in our society, it seems it was a problem in theirs too. We like to do that. We like to exalt certain people and put them on a pedestal and begin to take sides based on that. We need to be very careful not to do that, and we also need to be very careful to not to want to be that, to not to want to be in a position where people look up to us, but to only desire one thing, and that is to serve our master. And if the stewardship he gives us is to put us in a place where we do something big for him, like Paul and Peter and James and John, and they're immortalized throughout history, then praise the Lord for that. And they'll get their reward, not because they had that big role in history, but because they were faithful with the stewardship he gave them. And if the stewardship that the Lord gives me is a really, really small one, then praise the Lord for that, that he counted me worthy to have any kind of responsibility for him. And all that I need to do is to just be faithful to that stewardship and allow him in the end to judge those things. And we need to not worry about what other people think of us, whether they think that our role of responsibility is big enough or not, or whether we're doing the things that they should do. It can be very much that the Lord gives us something to do that's really out of the norm. And everybody else is like, why isn't he doing what we're doing? A good example of that is John the Baptist, right? He had a really, really unusual stewardship. Nobody else had one quite like that one. And a lot of people was like, we're all here in town witnessing to people, and he's out there in the middle of nowhere, standing in a creek, preaching. And then lo and behold, the next thing you know, everybody in the city goes out there to the creek, And that's the kind of thing that the Lord does sometimes. And we got to allow people to do that. We got to allow people to be whatever God wants them to be, even if that thing is kind of weird and unusual and odd. And what happens is, if we judge people based on our criteria and what we expect of them, we're going to cause those who are weak to go off in a direction that they shouldn't go off in. And we're going to lift up and idolize people who we think are really mature or really big or have a big ministry and follow after them for all the wrong reasons. The bottom line is that we need to be concerned about one person, and that is Jesus and what he expects of us, and nothing else in the whole world really matters.